World Watchers International with Mae Brussel, who for over 17 years has investigated and exposed political conspiracies worldwide. World Watchers International originates at KLRB, Carmel, California. Here's Mae.
Good evening. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. This is broadcast number 481 that I've done, the tape cassette or on the air, and it is February 22nd, 1981. I very seldom announce local news because by the time it gets east and overseas, wherever the tapes go, it's already passé. But I do want to mention a publication up at UC Santa Cruz that has come out with some good articles. Their political activism is picking up. I hope that more alternative presses come out soon. Many of them folded after the war. The Realist folded, Paul Krasner's paper, the LA Free Press, the Berkeley Barb. The City on a Hill Press had an article on the CIA agents and in the embassy in Iran, and they're planning a demonstration in Los Angeles against Larry Flint's offices and his magazine there. They call it, there's a group called the Praying Mantis Women's Brigade, and in March they're going to have a demonstration in Los Angeles against the violence that Larry Flint has against women. I might suggest, well, I wholeheartedly support this kind of a depiction of women and the violence that Larry Flint has, that I would encourage those people to line up with men also and stop all violence on television or movies, or stay away from everything that has violence from cartoons on up, or even pull out the plugs totally of the television and boycott the products that have violence of any kind, because it's getting way out of hand. It's not only against women, it's against men and little boys and little children and all kinds of people. There's violence against animals now, animal mutations. And I think when we combine and care about each other across the board, we'll be more effective than if we break into little groups. This is what the power structure likes to do, is to divide little groups and go out on a single cause. And as we get towards or closer to World War III, and you read articles in the Washington Post that the government, the Pentagon, figures they can lose 5 million in Los Angeles on atomic raid. And you see the charts and the drawings of where the atomic fallout will go. And they just wipe off Los Angeles or a major city, 5 million here or 300 million in total world if we have a minute little bomb exercise, a limited nuclear war. That is the ultimate violence, and while we go for these other projects, we should at the same time look at the larger violence. When I came back to KLRB to do these broadcasts, and I was doing them continuously on tape cassettes in the interim, I gave an analysis of what I considered the most important stories of the past 2 years, and I hope that someday those names will become household words to you, not through immense suffering, but that you'll begin to study the news articles related to these names. And the tape that I did then was 451, and if you write to me with a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you a sheet with the names, because I gave a list of 8 events that were taking place in the last several years up to this last July, and every single one of them was in the newspaper this week with a major story. Naturally, I can't do in 1 hour all of these stories, but I'll just briefly touch bases. I talked about the House Select Committee on Assassinations and the murder of John Kennedy and Martin Luther King. And there were stories this week possibly linked to the Wells Fargo Bank, that missing money going into Tennessee, $3.5 million into Tennessee, and connections to the John Kennedy assassination or the offices of Mark Lane and Larry Flint in Century City. The Kennedy assassination is far from solved, and also the Nguyen Bank came in the news again with the missing money of the CIA linked to John Paisley, who worked with Lee Harvey Oswald in Navy intelligence in the Soviet Union. The Jonestown murder was a primary story, and again, the missing bank money that is floating around is beginning to possibly link to these stories. I talked about Colonial Dignidad in Chile. Operation Condor are the assassination teams that are set up that go all over the world to kill heads of states or politicians who are not favorable to fascism, specifically Nazism. And this week, Ronald Reagan recognized the Chilean government were to share our Navy and expertise with them. And in Chile, on the border of Chile and Argentina, Are the assassination centers identified by people like Jack Anderson, syndicated columns all over the world, the Nazis that have been living there and surviving very well in Chile and Argentina, setting up these teams? We're to recognize Chile and combine our armed forces with them. Mrs. Letelier reminded the news media of how her husband was killed in Washington with Sandra Moffat, of teams combined from the New Jersey Alpha 66, the Anacostia Cubans, and the Colonial Dignidad Assassins. And she said that Ronald Reagan is talking about terrorism and starting the House on American Activities for Terrorism at the same time that he's recognizing Chile this week. The John Paisley story that I mentioned was so important, again, is in the news, and I'll share some of that with you, because that link to that Nugenhand Bank that I talk about in Australia, the Nugenhand Bank that's missing $55 million, that has been in business a long time, mixed with narcotics, gun running, CIA operations, and they had offices in various countries around the world that they quickly set up in 1973. One in Hawaii that was a tourist agency, and I'm beginning to wonder if they set the tourist the route for Mark David Chapman, the man who killed John Lennon. He was in Hawaii, went there quickly, went to a tourist agency. They gave him an arrangement for a trip around the world, and he was in London. One of the branches of Nugenhand is there. He's in Germany and Switzerland, where they have branches. In those cities, he married the woman who set up the tourist arrangements for him for that trip, and then she arranged the money for him to go to Georgia and to New York and back to Hawaii and then back to New York, where he shot John Lennon. And I'm wondering if the tourist agency in the Hawaiian branch run by the CIA will link up to Chapman in Hawaii. These are things we have to go into. But this Paisley story is a big story because of it's linking also to Colby, who set up the SLA in this country. And in 1973, their action really required a lot of funding and overseas money from Southeast Asia. And I want to share those articles with you. I did mention the murder of John Paul I, the Polish Pope, and then the other Pope coming in 30 days later. And the riots in labor problems in Poland are directly linked to the Pope, the Catholic Church, and the CIA, again, pouring money into Poland as an excuse to escalate our next war if Ronald Reagan can get away with it. He's acting like a crazy man, and that, of course, is one of the biggest stories in the news, is the fear of people that we're going into World War III very quickly. The Soviet Union has been saying this, and I think at first they were a little cautious with Ronald Reagan, and now they're not mincing words. The excuse for taking control of this government, for having internment camps again, for rounding us up, for the House committee hearings or the Senate hearings, is going to be, of course, that magic word, terrorism. The Soviets responded to the charges that they were terrorists that Ronald Reagan gave in his very first speech when he was the president, and his speech before Congress. And I didn't put on the air the exact quotations that came from the Soviet Union. One, it was printed in the Los Angeles Times. The Soviet Union was stung by the charges that Ronald Reagan said they were international terrorists. They said the United States is involved in complicity in the 1978 kidnapping and murder of former Italian Prime Minister Aldo Moro. Tass went on to say that the CIA is the main center for the organization of terror, subversion, provocations, plots, assassinations of prominent political and public figures. Went on to mention a few besides Aldo Moro, and they talked about Lumumba and Mossadegh and the overthrow in Iran and Salvador Allende in Chile. And then they went a little further and they talked about the killing of John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King that were done by the United States CIA. I wondered why the Soviet Union held back so long on making those charges, but when Ronald Reagan met them head on, they were very anxious to say that the United States, the CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency and the State Department, they answered back, are the ones that have been behind the terrorism. The Richard Halloran of the New York Times had an article, Russia's Terrorism Link Discounted, So the New York Times was taking a position against General Haig and Ronald Reagan in saying that the charges of the terrorism that the Russians were doing is discounted. That came again this week in the stories of El Salvador and the allegations of the State Department that the Soviet weapons were there and the Cuban weapons. And the response back from the State Department was, no, we haven't found those weapons. This isn't true. In the New York Times, they had another article, "The Soviet is mocking Ronald Reagan on morality." They said he's sarcastic and has the childhood ailment of power. And he said, "We do not pray to weaponry as if it were a holy icon." He took issue with religion in the United States and in the Soviet Union and said that Ronald Reagan is anxious to have a war. And he's suffering from what every new president suffers from, which is the childhood ailment of power. And one of the symptoms is a rejection of that objective experience of previous developments. The New York Times also had a picture of Aldo Moro fighting terrorism without going into any of the facts which have existed for a long time that the CIA did, in fact, kill Aldo Moro. As a matter of fact, I did a tape on that, a broadcast, in the past 2 years on the use of the wiping out Aldo Moro at election time to blame the terrorists in Italy when it actually was done by the CIA. And one of the things Moro was trying to do when he was killed was to find the Vatican property taxable instead of them owning electric companies and utilities and large hunks of Rome, Italy, and other places that they pay no taxes. Aldo Moro, as Prime Minister of Italy, wanted the Vatican to pay taxes. The Soviet Union this week, February 22nd, said the U.S. plans a global war. I really did think, in my heart of hearts, that if people woke up enough and studied the real truth about war and peace, what the Russians sacrificed, what their goals were, the manipulation of the United States to fund Hitler, to make World War II, and then to retrench with the Nazis to make World War III. If people really had the discipline to study these things, they could avert World War III. But the response of people, the general apathy and indifference to the existing facts and the existing horrors that are taking place every day in the news without people getting out in the streets and mobilizing now, makes me resigned to the fact that they're not going to be any smarter now than they were in Germany in the 30s. A few people understood in Germany, others didn't, and it just seems obvious now that the primary order of things is entertainment and Grammy Awards and Academy Awards, and there is very little caring or involvement. And when that stops, caring about other people, it's going to stop. People are not going to care about you. There's one article in the paper, as I say this week, the U.S. view of Salvador is challenged. The State Department challenged Reagan's version of what went on, but it will be another bloodbath, and the natives and people will be killed and slaughtered. Hundreds of them have been killed in the past year, and Jimmy Carter was sending in advisors and troops. The president of El Salvador said this week in the San Francisco Examiner, El Salvador, the president warns his country, will become another Vietnam. Doesn't he understand that Vietnam bankrupted this country? We lost the war to Vietnam. More communists took over when we got out of Vietnam, and in truth, it will be another Vietnam, and there's no way the United States can keep forcing people all over the world with guns, because eventually they're going to have to train people with guns who will turn them against them and have a palace coup. That doesn't mean a lot of heads aren't going to fall, a lot of blood isn't going to spill. It's really a tragedy, but it seems, again, we didn't learn from Iran and we didn't learn from Somoza and Nicaragua, so we have to send troops and advisors and even threaten. We'll send first the advisors and then the troops and even threaten a blockade against Cuba. We've allowed people, organized crime and the gaming syndicate, to have their jaws on Cuba for years, and it just seems that nothing is going to stop the powers that be that are in office today, because they have worked with these assassination teams and the anti-Castro Cubans and Colonial Dignitat and set up the CIA terrorist assassins, and they We'll take Central America, the Honduras, and all the countries there, and put in a total dictatorship. It exists in South America now, and all that is left is Central America. And then a few people are going to wake up and say, where did the years go? There was an article, or one of the many articles, on the reason to go into El Salvador is that there's Russian weapons there, and we're going to send officials over to Europe to get support from Germany to send our troops into El Salvador. I saved an article, cache of weapons, back in 1976. A group were caught. I don't even remember if they were punished. They had a 200-man military unit, enough equipment, a racist group, German weapons, American, French, Japanese, Russian weapons, and this was the Christian Defense League that they were linked up with anti-Semitic, anti-Jewish, anti-Black material. They have bunkers out in the northeastern Los Angeles County, Ontario, and Pomona. I have many articles on outright Nazis and Minutemen with weapons and Russian weapons. And I have many articles of caches of weapons in the Mojave that are Russian weapons that our government are training to use, and then they send them over to these countries and say, we found a Russian weapon, we have to protect them. The Samuel Cummings in London sells Russian weapons. This is in the New York Times, the London Times, as if they were going out of style or out of, can't find any. He buys them up and then puts them in these countries, which is the excuse for us to overthrow any kind of a moderate government like Allende had, or any other government that wants to coexist or raise the standard of living with its native population. As I say, this week there was an article, U.S. ends 4-year spat with Chile, and Mrs. Letelier is saying, you're talking about terrorism, and you're going to send money, export U.S. Export-Import Bank, you're going to trade, you're going to share navies with Mr. Pinochet, and he seized his power by killing Mr. Allende and grabbing that power. And now the United States, 4 years after Jimmy Carter, is out, and as bad as Carter was, we're going to recognize Chile. A friend of mine, a close friend who listens to Shortwave of Moscow every evening and gives me a lot of information on Moscow, said that this week the Soviet Union was adding another murder list to the American assassination team, such as Allende and Mossadegh, and they mentioned President Juan Torres of Bolivia. So I got out my files on the murder of Torres in Bolivia, and in 1976 it came out that he was overthrown in a military coup. In 1970, he was in office from 70 to 71. He was toppled by a military regime who are still in power, and he fled to Argentina, and then he was gunned down, as were 400 other people in Argentina by the right-wing government. There were death squads, and people that fled there to get help were gunned down, and he was one of them. And the Soviet Union is now bringing out that murder. It seems that the USSR will be competing with Mae Brussel to talk about assassinations that the United States government does. But this is a very important point about why I do this work and why I share it with you, is that if the United States is doing these things to put in Nazi regimes all over the world, your rights, your civil liberties, wherever you walk, you will be unsafe. The arms on the streets, the policemen on the buses, the rapid transits, you won't have money for the increase in fare for the airplane fare or money for your gasoline. They're talking about increasing the tax now on the gasoline. You'll be impoverished and kept in a slave master state. And if everybody who would speak up for you is murdered, such as Mr. Kefauver, Adlai Stevenson, or John Kennedy, or Robert Kennedy, or Martin Luther King, or Malcolm X, if all of these people are killed and they can't speak for you and you don't want to know who killed them, then you have to wake up and speak for yourself, because there isn't anything left. There are no leaders left, and all you have to face is raw fascism in whatever form it has, and it is armed and it is financed. And it is dreadful, but this is the price we're going to pay for sitting back and doing our own thing. We've heard so much of that in the 70s. Do your own thing and learn to cope. cope with yourself. And then when you come out of that cocoon, who are you going to look at, or are you going to look down the barrel of a gun? That's what I was doing, was my own thing until Kennedy was killed. And then I realized that I had repressed my anger about the House on American Activities, or the Alger Hiss case, the framing of Hiss, or smearing Helen Cahagan Douglas as being a red, or Jerry Voorhees in California, and watching the Rosenbergs being persecuted, you know, singled out for giving away secrets later. It turned out they didn't give. I sat very quiet, and then all of a sudden I came out of doing my own thing and realized that I better wake up because something serious was happening in this country. And if you didn't believe it then, those of you who remember 1963, and a lot of you listen to me now, you young people, you better realize that coping is, how are we going to cope with rampant fascism? And this is what I predicted years ago, 8, 9 years ago, you'd get when Reagan was president. Another news story in this week that just horrified me, but isn't out of the range of possibilities. I'm waiting for Evel Younger to get his appointment in the Justice Department, if not to be a Chief Justice. An article from the San Francisco Chronicle. Insiders say District Attorney Jensen to get a high post in the Justice Department. Jensen is being considered for one of the highest roles in the United States Justice Department in Washington, D.C., under Edward Schmultz, S-C-H-M-U-L-T-S. A Yiddish word for schmaltz is dirt. This is S, not Z. And he'll be second in command of the Justice Department under the Deputy Attorney General. Now, this man, Jensen, was a very strong law and order man that prosecuted DeSavio at the demonstrations in Berkeley years ago that tried to charge Huey Newton and the Black Panthers and break them up for various crimes. He was in charge of the investigation or prosecution of Dr. Marcus Foster and the SLA, carefully avoiding all the CIA links to this. He would be a major policymaker in the Justice Department. He worked with Mr. Meese, the Deputy Attorney General under Jensen, when Meese went on to be Reagan's advisor. And the one thing Reagan knows and did well in California was that bag of California terrorisms. I'm always talking about those mass terrorisms with those common denominators. Well, another California dog is going up to the Washington, D.C. confirmation hearings. And as I said back in December this year, the assassination teams are all moving into place and being promoted higher up as the cover-up continues. I remember the book, The Control of Candy Jones. She tells how she came to California to see a Dr. Jill Jensen, who did the mind control job on her. She said she just changed the name a little bit, and then she was turned into a human guinea pig. There is a Dr. Jensen that worked with the CIA in Berkeley who works with these teams, whose goal was to show that blacks are inferior, that there's no use to educate them. He works with Shockley. They heavily funded. And this gang, this SLA gang, the people that put down the Black Panthers, the student movement, are part of the California terrorism. And as I say, this man is going into Washington, D.C. to have one of the third highest jobs there. And I predict California is in for another round of bloodbath. This Charlie Bates is still working with the news media here. He worked with Jensen and that whole gang through the SLA era. I called the Justice Department in Washington to speak to them, to Edward Schultz, the Deputy Attorney General, and Schmultz, and to object to this appointment. They didn't call back. I wrote a letter, and I'll run down some of the reasons why I know the man will be approved, but the reasons why I don't think he should, just so we have it in the record. And again, I talk about the California violences and the needs of a computer. There was an article in the San Jose Mercury this week. He has murder on his mind when he conducts interviews, and it's the story of the FBI using computers to study Sirhan Sirhan, Juan Corona, Charles Kemper, Herb Mullen, Charles Manson, and it goes on and on. All of those that I called the California violences fit into the FBI computer for the purposes of, I guess, getting more patsies and more terror, because terror is the way you get control over people and their minds. Ronald Reagan's institute that I've mentioned many times to study the causes of violent behavior with Dr. Louis Jolyon West from the CIA, Jack Ruby, psychiatrist. I pulled out an article from 1979, the Fresno Bee, about Ronald Reagan and his 1973 message and the problem of the Commission on Crime and Violence and taking away our rights, that they will use violence and violence-prone people to get legislation going as an excuse to protect us at home against terrorism. Speaking of racism and this Jensen in the Bay Area, I might remind you that the SLA used black powder on their face when they killed Dr. Marcus Foster to make it look like a black person did it. Black people in Jonestown were kept isolated and mistreated and abused, and the white people ran it. The Manson people left credit cards in the black part of town because they wanted a race war. They wrote Death to the Pig in blood on Sharon Tate's house because they wanted to look like the Black Panthers were there. And the men with Patty Hearst also painted their face black with black makeup to hurry up the race war in case it wasn't going fast enough. And then the articles in the last week on House Un-American Activity, the conservatives favor a House panel to look for terrorists in the United States, Associated Press story, and then another story, New Boys on Terrorism, by Victor Navasky. Can it happen again? Will we have a wave of McCarthyism? Is Reagan going to have repression and a Cold War? And it goes into one of the chairmen of the Senate subcommittee is Jeremiah Denton, who has been very, very active in coming down on terrorism, investigating Mother Jones, all the left publications they want to go into, and not talking about the COINTELPRO program, the Institute for Policy Study, and Philip Agee. Of course, this Denton was in a prison camp in Vietnam. He graduated from Annapolis, and he's a very gung-ho with Strom Thurmond on nailing any person who knows anyone overseas or has any different kind of ideas. And, of course, they won't bring up in their terrorist activity the Frank Turpel, George Corcola situation that I said was one of the most important stories in the country. Jack Anderson has an article this week, again, about four people that met with Idi Amin in 1976. One British, Robert Assel, British-born, security advisor for Idi Amin. Another one was Wadi Haddad, who arranged for the 1972 Munich massacre of the Olympic Games of the Israeli students. Haddad died in 78. This meeting was in 76. Carlos the Jackal, who arranged the Munich massacres and other violences to make him look like the left, and Mr. Frank Turpel from the CIA. Now, Turpel was there with the Englishmen to offer them what Jack Anderson says, merchants of death information. Turpel was selling over in Europe at this one meeting $3.2 million worth of weapons from the CIA and communications, and providing torture instrument around the world and laser, electronic shock and guns, and deadly hardware. And one of his cute tricks was to provide rats that you put on a victim's stomach under an inverted pot, and you require the rat to gnaw its way up into a man's stomach. That is the terrorism that TASS is talking about. That's the terrorism I'm talking about. That's the terrorism that Jack Anderson is talking about. It's not the terrorism the House Un-American Activities will talk about, that a man, Samuel Cummings from Philadelphia, and the CIA goes to England and sends millions and millions and millions of dollars to every country of the world with torture equipment and atomic bombs, offering Idi Amin atomic bombs, just coming directly from two CIA agents, including live rats to eat people out. That is America. I don't know what Russia's doing, but I know what America's doing, and I live in America, and I can't think that the way to fight communism is to send this all over the world to every country, and that America can save face, and a future generation can save face and say, I'm an American, and sit back and take this day after day like we do. And then there was a story, January 18th, arms dealer, this Samuel Cummings, is the brother-in-law of Senator Tower of the House Foreign Relations Committee. He's the one in London, the CIA man, who runs Inter Armco, who sells 100 million marks. He just turns over constantly small weapons, big weapons, the silencers that Mitchell Werbel makes. And there was an article in the Rolling Stones, A Plague of Libyans, How America Imports Bribery and Assassinations, along with 700,000 barrels of oil a day. And it goes into hit lists so that every magazine, not only Mother Jones, the Rolling Stones, February the 5th, 1981, on Gaddafi. And, of course, Gaddafi is linked to Turple, Corcola, Samuel Cummings, and the CIA. This country has gone crazy since World War II, since World War II began long before that. But since it was over, they've gone bananas. But now they talk about giving atomic bombs, the CIA, to people like Gaddafi as an excuse for us to have a House American on American activities. But they won't bring up Turple and Gaddafi. Turple left the country when he was arrested in New York. And so this is the kind of thing the House Un-American Activities doesn't intend to go into. They want to get us. It's a little sickening, and I get very disgusted. And every day now, the news confirms more of what I feared for the past 10 years. This is the end of the first 30 minutes. If you can take 30 more minutes of gore, we'll take a one-minute break. It's Mae Brussel in Carmel, and I'll be back.